Welcome to Bite-Size Dental Marketing. Today we have my co-founder Andre and my co-host Ian. We want to talk about Storio and what that means for us. And so many agencies are out there selling SEO, and SEO is a big deal. It always has been. Since the mid-90s, people have been trying to game Google, and we've through the years developed our flavor of that, and today we want to talk it and bring it to the world. So Andre, I as the author of Storio and the idea generator on these things, lay the groundwork of how we ended up here.
Thanks, Eric. You know, I think before you can get to Storio is sort of a new word that we coined within the agency. You have to go back in time to how we have approached marketing for the last several years, what we think is happening in the industry that landed us here. Now, one of the things that we talk about regularly is when someone's talking about advertising, there's really two sides of that equation to make advertising work. You have the tactics or the mechanisms, perhaps, is a better word for it, to deliver some messaging. Right? So the tactics here would be, whether it's Google Ads or Facebook Ads or Mailer, those are really a way to get a set of words, a video or image in front of that prospective customer, right? So tactics is something that the industry as a whole pays a lot of attention to, because you're thinking about the technical side of marketing, the optimizations, the targeting, lookalike audiences, all of those things go into that bucket. The second bucket is something that we think people don't talk about enough, which is the messaging. In other words, you spend all of this time and money and energy into getting in front of this ideal patient, perhaps, but we don't spend a lot of time thinking about what are we going to say when we are in front of them. So in our agency, we really put a lot of emphasis over the last several years on talking to people and connecting to them and putting ourselves in the mindset of what they might be experiencing when they land on one of our clients' websites. And so that focus on messaging is something that started really high level that we wanted to apply not just to the website, but to the paid campaigns, the video content we created. And the emphasis at some point came down to SEO. And with SEO, and you're thinking about the tactics, it was this almost scary emotion of, do we prioritize the messaging, meaning the words that we want on the first page of the website, the first section of the homepage of the website. But what are you giving up if you do that? And traditional SEO would say you have to have dentists in city so that Google can rank you high when someone...
And surrounding areas.
Are you referring... when you say traditional SEO, are you talking about all the battles that you and I had when I originally started at this agency?
Yeah.
That's all I think about.
And those are growing pains. And I think that's what everybody knows. I mean, people have been spending the last 10 years, like Eric said earlier, trying to figure out what does Google want? And yes, at some point, having your dentist near you in the URL and then dentist near you on the homepage was what would have worked. But that has changed. And I think that conversation within our agency, within our content departments, within our SEO department, as well as SEO, when our team started saying, you know what, let's not focus on the ranking number as the only thing. Let's focus on the story. And that's when they coined the term Storio, because we're putting more emphasis on the story and that patient journey and the emotional connection above just the metrics that a random tool may be tracking. So that's the journey how we got here.
Mm. And for me, there's three important points to the Storio journey. The first one is, it is crazy to think that Google, with all their algorithms, all the intelligence they have, all the data and metadata they have about a practice, needs to know that it's in Burleson. Like, my address is in Burleson. I, of course, I'm in Burleson. I have so many things that radiate where I'm at. Putting dentist in Burleson is not particularly, it can't be effective. The second one is, Google has proven time and time again that as soon as everyone is doing something, they pivot the algorithm, because that's as soon as the system begins to get gamed, it's no longer a viable system. So they've changed the algorithm. And the third is, we've taken over so many accounts that invested heavily in SEO. We've spent a ton of time doing classic SEO, and we've never been able to draw a linear line from a ultra high ranking on SEMrush and new patients coming in the door, because what we, you know, only understood recently, and the industry is becoming around, is when SEMrush or these tools give you that report, it's their interpretation of what they think Google wants, but it's their interpretation of it. It's not actually built in any grounded science when you get down to a niche. And that gets complex when you have enough data like we do across, you know, several hundred practices and their not only their website performance, but also their empirical business performance as well. So I think those two things help lead us to the timing of the introduction of Storio.
I would also add there, Eric, that the industry forced us in a big way, AI specifically, and as you said now, as Google would pivot to becoming something that comprehends rather than something that is just reading a line of code. And that's where before, if you looked at, as Andre was saying now, if it's dentist in Burleson or dentist in Mansfield or pediatric dentist Mansfield, these type of keywords, it was a bit more of basic algorithm running. And that's why when the two of you had started this company over a decade ago now, if you put those keywords in and you worked at that and you did it in a good way, you would be rewarded. But now with the climb of, do you want to challenge that?
I'm going to say the reason I laugh at that is SEO has been, I think this has been on the writing on the wall for a long time, but you know, I don't know that it was particularly effective even then.
But it would get it, my point is it could rank you in some way. It would get you somewhere more so than it does.
It would improve a report that made it look like you were having an effective campaign. Yes.
So you're saying, but you're, as you were saying, now then the new patients and those things would not follow to the same extent. Okay. So I guess what I'll say then is, let's stay on the train of the actual technology behind Google has improved up until today, especially with the introduction of what Gemini and ChatGPT coming into the mix, all of these things of the story that the team is telling does become way more important, because Andre, you and I had that conversation where search is becoming more and more refined. We spoke about that earlier today. And as search becomes more refined, it's not just anymore about dentist in this place. It is becoming about what message does this homepage actually convey? Who are they trying to target? What are the services that are important? And that is where I see SEO going, in the story that you're telling and an algorithm that's becoming increasingly smarter in how it wants to serve results to its customers.
I think where I see it now is, even if we put aside whether having dentists in city in the hero has ever worked or never worked, or there is not, even if you put that aside, you still have the problem of one way or the other, at some point through a marketing journey, a patient is going to land on that website, whether it's through an ad campaign, through organic ranking, a variety, you know, a local event, and then you've met some people, they saw a business card, it doesn't matter. They're going to come to the website. And the bigger problem for me is that if the website was built with the intention of pleasing search engine, perhaps pleasing SEMrush or SE Ranking or Ahrefs or whatever other tool, you're giving up, in some instances, the life of the practice, the emotional connection, and the reason why someone would choose you. So even if you got 1,000 people in on your site, if they don't learn anything about you, if they don't understand why you're different, you might not get that phone call, right? As where, yes, maybe in some instances, having the story-led content that's about your core values and being really specific about what is it that you will do to take care of your patients. What I mean is, I just say treat it like family. You know, let's say exactly what they can expect when they come to the practice. What we believe will happen is, even if you got fewer people to the site, the people that do land there are more likely to convert. And by convert, I mean pick up the phone and call, because they feel connected to you. And they're more likely to come in with a higher degree of trust because they know what you're all about. They know what to expect. And if they don't vibe with you, if what you're saying is not what they want, maybe they won't convert, but that's okay. You know, the majority of our clients are higher end, nicer practices. They're trying to do bigger cases. They're oftentimes fee for service, and they're looking for quality patients. And quality patients need a story to connect to in order to justify going out of network or spending several thousands of dollars with you before they have had the opportunity to meet you. So what it all boils down is that as well. It's not just about whether or not it ranks. It's about, does it do the job that the website ultimately has to do? And not just the website, your advertising and the content that you create, it has to connect with people. And I think for too long, we as an industry, we've tried to connect with Google instead. And I think as the platforms themselves are changing, it's going to become a great divider, if you will, of marketers out there and practices out there between the people who continue to do it the old-fashioned way and the people who start thinking about the future, which is building for the patients. And this becomes even more important when you look ahead and you think, how easy is it to generate thousands of pages of content? Mm-hmm. It's a query on Gemini or ChatGPT. So if everyone can create content that is, air quotes, SEO ready, what is Gemini or all the other large language models were trained on what is SEO ready? It's having Dennis in city and placating to the search engine, right? And so if you are trying to set yourself up for the future, you have to be unique. You have to be connecting with your customer and putting that as the most important thing. And yes, maybe in the short term, some reports look less good than they used to. But at the end of the day, your job as a marketer and what you're looking for as a doctor isn't for numbers to look good on a report, is to have cheeks and seats, you know, and it'd be people that value who you are and why you do what you do, because that's when you connect and sell treatment.
How do you get to that content, Andre? I mean, it's theoretically, right? Take us from theory to practice of, I buy in, I understand I'm, if I cater to everyone, I'm catering to no one. So I'm going to try to build my content for my audience. How do I hone down my word choice? How do I hone down what is on my homepage and about us pages, given those are the two most visited pages we have?
I think there's a couple of different paths, Eric. I think there are some practices that are really clear about who their patients are and who they're trying to serve. In those cases, maybe it's, I am here specifically to treat people with anxiety. That's my ideal patient. And so then all of the content should be tying always back to, I do this thing because I know that it will lower your anxiety. So for example, maybe you have some comfort menu items around, you know, weighted blankets, let's say. A lot of people have those and they're nice and people say, you know, we have a comfort menu. But you have to go that extra step and say, I have this because a lot of our patients, when they feel, you know, office can be cold, having the security, having the weight gives you a sense of comfort. So we took that extra step because our practice is about anxiety. This is how we do the anesthesia. We do buffered anesthesia because we know that the injection is a lot of the reason why the people have anxiety. So this is a step we take towards that. When it comes to billing, we know that a lot of people have anxiety around getting a surprise bill and putting financial stress in their family. So for that reason, we have this payment plan option. We have a membership plan. We will look at the bill together with you before you leave. And we're going to stand by whatever number we said. And if things turn out to be different later, we're going to honor it because we did this approval thing beforehand. So you can have peace that it's going to be right. So what am I doing with my words here? I'm focusing on my why, and I'm being very descriptive about what the things that I'm doing, how they tie back to my why. So that's option one. You know, you have a singular focus, and that's what you're doing. I think option two, which sometimes practices want to serve a variety of different patients, and it's not this singular focus. I think in those cases, the easiest way to start is by looking inside of who you are and your core values and how you run your team and what you want the patient experience to be. And being, again, very descriptive about, this is what you can expect at your first visit. and during the, you know, the next appointment and the next appointment and afterwards, so that you're painting a very clear picture that's different than I have a great team and we provide excellent care, because that's what everybody else is saying. It's not specific enough. I think the name of the game, Eric, is going to be how specific can you be about who you are and what you do? Because no large language model is going to be able to create that for you or for anyone else. And that's not to say that we shouldn't be leveraging those tools to help us ideate and create content and do all that. But it's a difference between asking the tool to do it for you versus leveraging it to maybe giving you a baseline, you know, idea of what you want to create, and coming in behind it and adding on that flavor that's unique to you and no one else. And the other advice that I give regularly is, when I'm talking about what makes you special or what you do that's unique, don't anchor to what your peers do. Because maybe in relationship to those peers, you feel like it's not special because they all of them do it, right? All of them spend time with their patients. But if you think about the average person has had 2, maybe 3 dentists in their lifetime. Maybe one of them was a DSO. Maybe one of them was a low quality office, something that's different than your experience. So talk about, anchor them to, this is what we do and how it's different than maybe what you've experienced before, Mr. or Mrs. Patient, so that they have the reference point. You know, when I say we don't rush our appointments and we run them on time. If we told you it's going to be 1 o'clock, you can bet your last dollar that it's going to be 1 o'clock. I'm already signaling to you that some people may not do that, because if I'm bragging about it, it's not a given. Otherwise, I wouldn't be highlighting it. Right. So being specific is really important there. And again, putting yourself in the mindset of who is this person that I'm connecting with, what they might be experiencing when they get here, and trying to address those concerns so that they feel heard and seen, and that you understand what they're going through when they land on your site.
What do you tell someone who's done it, I mean, for years the other way, or they've just had an SEO company doing their marketing, or they go to their website and their website doesn't reflect them? How do you get them from this ideation phase to go through the journey you did to, is it, you know, I need to build a new site? Do I need to go take down all my, you know, do I need to wipe out my social media posts and just file new? How do I tactically get from here to there?
I think the first step, Eric, is, do you have faith? Do you even believe in this idea? Do you believe, when you look around and the businesses that you interact with, all of us have had the experience of landing on a site that you know for sure was not built for another human being to consume because of how it's structured, the word link, you know, the choices and all that. The reason why I think faith is the number one thing is because you won't allow yourself to take this next step without that faith. And what I mean is, the moment that people that help, who don't have faith, even clients sometimes that don't have faith in this yet, the moment that they see the usual tools that they've usually used change their ranking, they immediately panic and they go back to comfort, right? So just like anything else in life, you can't grab on to the new thing without letting go of the old thing. So first you got to look in the mirror and decide, how much do you believe in this? How much are you willing to live in the future versus in the past? How much are you willing to delay instant gratification for this future benefit, right? I think that's number one. I think number two comes next is partnership, meaning no marketing agency, ourselves included, is going to be able to represent you without you. So that means spending time with your company or yourself, if you're doing it on your own, thinking about, what do you want? If you had the largest megaphone in the world, what would you want everyone in that area that's your ideal patient to know? There's a book, I think it's The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. They do this exercise where, if you want to live a good life, one of the things that you can do is close your eyes, really focus, and pretend it's your funeral. And you're there in spirit, whatever you want to call it, you're a fly on the wall, and you're watching your eulogy. And you go through the exercise of, you know, what would you want your spouse to say about who you are? What would you want your coworkers to say about who you are? What would you want your children to say about how you were as a parent? Right? You go through the exercise and you really try to get deep into what would make you really proud of how you lived. Because you know, whatever those answers are, those are the things that are really important to you. And then once you know that, you have to now start living in a way that contributes to that eulogy, right? And anytime you're making decisions that are out of alignment with that eulogy, you need to check yourself and think, wait, that's not who I want to be. I think there's a parallel of what you can do with your marketing and your practice in thinking, what would you like every one of your best patients to say about you and who you are and how you do dentistry, and your anxious patients and your full mouth rehab patients, your emergency patients, and then whatever those answers are. And I mean, it takes work, Eric. It takes introspection to get into that level of detail. But whatever those answers are, that's the starting point for what needs to be in your advertising, what needs to be in your website, but more importantly, how you actually need to practice. You know, at the end of the day, this has to come from a place of, this is truly who you are, because if it's not, it's going to show when the patients come to the door and the experience right. that they thought they were going to have doesn't match what they have. But it takes work and it takes commitment. But I think if you put the work in defining who you are and then sharing that with your marketing agency, helping them craft a message, and you have the leap of faith, I think you can get to this promised land that I'm talking about.
I liked everything that you said in being true to yourself. And when you have the megaphone and not trying to catch every fish, as you said, but the fish that matter to you and the practice and the type of patient that you want. Now, one mistake we often see, Eric, on that, though, is that practices then just talk about themselves. They go in there and they say, okay, what is the message we want to put out there? And then when you read a website, you realize, but all that this website is doing is saying how great the practice is and how great the technology is and that you're going to feel at home and just like family. And here at Pain Free, we did StoryBrand. It's basically a framework. It's a book that we did in our book club of you as the dental practice or the dentist and us as the marketers when we work on marketing, we're actually just the guide. We need to remember that the patient is the hero in the story. And in that copy, you need to figure out what are you doing to convince this person that you are the right option, not by talking about yourself all the time and how great you are, but what is the actual value proposition? In the anxiety example that you said, have the comfort menu, say, but what does that actually mean for that patient when they come into your office? And that's something that, Eric, if you say now, what dentists that know nothing, that don't know, I encourage dentists, take a second, go look at your website. And if whatever marketing company you're using is all they're doing is saying how this is the best and we're the best and feel at home and all these generic terms, then that's a good starting point for you to start thinking about how do I want to tell my story.
I think that's where Andre said about intentionality and the getting a partner, because I don't know that I know how to talk about myself. It's not something most people are naturally inclined to be excited about. And I know we all like, you know, our names are our favorite thing to hear. And I think it's true. It's also hard to talk about yourself publicly. And I think that's where you're going to need help to craft the, you know, I have the latest technology, that phrase into, you know, we have a cone beam. So when we place implants, we can, you know, absolutely work around nerves. We can pivot we can point to the bone and get the right angle. And what we're doing by doing that, we're accelerating healing to improve the, you know, the success rate of this implant. So if you just ask me what makes me different, I would struggle to articulate the why without like understanding a lot of work. And that is where the framework of that you know, an agency can provide you would be so beneficial, because otherwise you just see, you know, you basically do an evolved version of, you know, I'm over here and I'm open. You know, the worst sign to see on a restaurant is now open, you know, you know, or open for business. Anytime you see that, that's not a good sign to see. And, you know, we have the latest technology is an easy phrase to say, but that it doesn't actually have any meaning. Because I'm not going over there for the technology. I'm going there because of the connection with the dentist.
Like you always say, no one has ever selected a practice purely on the fact that, hey, I can't wait to see this new piece of technology that they have in this practice. That...
I cannot wait to see your new comb beam. I'm so excited.
But let's play a game, though. Let's pretend for a moment that someone really did care about that, right? Because again, everybody is different. There's always going to be someone else who's also got a comb beam. So a comb beam for a comb beam, they can choose anywhere, right? I think the doctor says, look, I know that doing some of these procedures like all on four is really scary. And it's expensive. And you certainly wouldn't want to pay for that twice. You certainly wouldn't want to take money from your family and your savings and your kids' college fund, whatever the case may be, to invest in this thing and be disappointed at the end. So because of that, we invest in this technology because it greatly reduces the chances of failure. And that's really important to me because I know how much you're pouring into getting this done. And we know XYZ, it's showing that I understand what the patient is feeling in that moment. And I'm tying my technology, or I'm tying my operations, I'm tying my approach to address this person that I really understand and I care about. And yes, not everyone is going to care about that. There is some population who does not care whatsoever how you're getting this implant done. They just want another tooth in the place where it's missing, and they want to know how long until I can eat. And that's okay. There is a dentist out there that's going to match that desire. And your goal is to find the people who value what you value. And so the reason I'm sharing this also is because I don't want it to come across as, unless you're this really noble person and you have these really big aspirations, that you can't be successful. That's not it. If your thing is, I want to be the cheapest person in town, no matter what. Walmart gives money back, you know, a rollback price guarantee, whatever it is, right? Lowest price guarantee, right? Like, they have a very successful business model, but no one is walking into Walmart expecting to get Nordstrom quality. But to them, that value, the lowest price guarantee, is the most important thing. And there are some patients who are going to have a similar feeling of something else is the most important thing. And all the things we've been talking about in terms of example are not. In which case, embrace that. If that's who you are, just be really clear so that you connect with those people. But the patient who really values, you know, the experience and the emotion and all the things we're talking about, when they see lowest price guarantee, they're likely not going to connect with that. And again, that is okay. Our job is not to connect with everyone. It's to connect with the people who want what we have to offer. And so, you know, I think that's an important takeaway. Whatever it is that you are, whatever it is that's important to you, or you believe that's the thing that's important to the patient that you want to attract, that needs to be unequivocally the focal point and nothing else. We talked about how Soryo started with the SEO team as we were having this debate around the website content. But as it's grown as a movement inside our agency, it's permeated throughout other departments. So how do we bring this to the people? How, you know, what is next on it for us? How do we, I'd love to talk more about how does this play a role in the paid campaigns, whether it be Google or Meta campaigns? How does it play a role in overall website development design and all the other parts of our agency, more importantly, what doctors and what practices need to be successful.
Next up, we have Shimmerin with the SEO team is going to come talk to us about how they've changed their processes and when they look at the sites, how they're going to do it. And then, you know, from there, we're going to talk to Jake and Aaron and on the paid media side and get into the you know, some of the folks on the client service side, even how we're talking to clients about it. Because it has implications in how we engage clients, because, you know, you are going to have some classic signs of old school SEO, maybe not look as if they're plugged into those, it is going to look different. Now, you know, we're going to, of course, watch analytics and other things on the overall site health. But yeah, we very much want to get the department heads of, you know, our agency in and talking about how they've adapted it all the way down to how the client service team are talking to accounts in the shift. Because you nailed it earlier when you were talking about, I can go out to Gemini today and say, write me a page on implants. Here's my current website. And it'll write it. Now, it's not going to have my approach. It's not going to have my warmth. Even if you said add my warmth to it, even that phrase is a complex phrase. So to me, this movement is really around a pivotal shift in if I can't articulate the why and I can't articulate what it means to the patient, I do need to take and put a keen eye on what am I even talking about then? Because I should be talking about the things that are important to me and that I want to radiate out. And that feels challenging, but go read your top reviews. And I think even, you know, you gave several examples of how to get started, but if you think you're like everyone else and that's what's holding you back, which is feels like the most likely cases, but I'm just a dentist, is, well, go read your reviews, because that's not what your best reviews say. As it permeates our culture and becomes something we do, this is the first in a series that we're going to do on this topic.
So if you're an existing client and you're listening to this, you can follow us along, because we're going to walk you through how your marketing is going to be changing over the next several months. Right, this is a movement that we started slowly. You know, if you are a client, you might not have felt direct impact of all of this in all of the different ways quite yet. But you know, this would be a great way to learn along with us. And if you are not a client and you are doing your own marketing, or you have a marketing agency that's working with you, I think this could also be super helpful if you buy into this concept of differentiation by being authentic to who you are, to follow along so you can see. You know, today you got to the big picture overview, but over the next several weeks, you're going to see how it shows up in each of the different parts of the marketing landscape. So you can, you know, take some nuggets and start implementing it and see if it works for you. And we'd love to hear back if you start trying some of these things and you're having success, or you're not having the success you thought you were going to have. It would be fantastic to chat and see how things are going for you.
It's a good place to wrap it up, Phil. That was your bite of dental marketing. We'll be back.